From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. This week, Dr. Cairns commences a series of studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, a subject which is much misunderstood in our day. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels are the unseen attendants of the saints of God. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. Loyalty to their Lord leads them to take a deep interest in the children of His love. They rejoice over the return of the prodigal to his father's house below, and they welcome the advent of the believer to the king's palace above. In olden times, the sons of God were favored with their visible appearance, and at this day, although unseen by us, heaven is still opened, and the angels of God ascend and descend upon the Son of Man, that they may visit the heirs of salvation. Seraphim still fly with live coals from off the altar to touch the lips of men greatly beloved. If our eyes could be opened, we should see horses of fire and chariots of fire about the servants of the Lord. For we have come to an innumerable company of angels who are all watchers and protectors of the seed royal. To what dignity are the chosen elevated when the bright courtiers of heaven become their willing servitors? Into what communion are we raised, since we have intercourse with spotless celestials? How well are we defended, since all the 20,000 chariots of God are armed for our deliverance? To whom do we owe all this? Let the Lord Jesus Christ forever be endeared to us, for through Him we are made to sit in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. He it is whose camp is round about them that fear Him. He is the true Michael, whose foot is upon the dragon. All hail Jesus, thou angel of Jehovah's presence. To thee this family offers its morning vows.
Thank you.
One of the hallmarks of Protestant Christianity is its tradition of singing. Just as the worship in the Old Testament was characterized by song, so the people of God down through the ages have been a singing people. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a CD entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise that contains nearly an hour of the great hymns of the church performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. The CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Today, Dr. Cairns begins a series of studies in a much misunderstood area among many Christians, the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Over and over again, the Bible commands believers to know their God. In Daniel 11:32, we read, "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." The Bible reveals God as existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the ever-blessed Trinity. Without doubt, the greatest ignorance and confusion about the Trinitarian persons among professing Christians is in the area of the Holy Ghost. As he begins this extensive series in the person and work of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Cairns first explains the importance of this study. May the Lord use these messages to instruct believers about the one whom Christ called the Comforter. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
John 16 and verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these very familiar verses from his own precious word for his name's sake. For reasons that will become obvious as we go along, I'm not taking a text in the strict sense this morning to expound it phrase by phrase or thought by thought. But in a broad way, I want to base what we have to say on verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The highest knowledge that any man can attain is a knowledge of God. To know God, according to John 17:3, is eternal life. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So to know God is life eternal. To have the mind so darkened that it knows not God is the greatest tragedy that can befall a human soul, because that darkness is but the harbinger of the darkness that Christ calls outer darkness in hell forever. Now in the Bible, God is set forth for us as a Trinity. The Shorter Catechism answers the question, how many persons are there in the Godhead, succinctly and scripturally? There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, thus far, I think every person who has any idea of Bible Christianity can go along with that statement. But the Catechism goes on to teach that these are one God, the same in substance and equal in power and glory. That, in a nutshell, is the biblical statement of the doctrine of the Trinity. And it is the privilege of every Christian to know God, to know God in the Trinity of His sacred persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You remember the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, right at the very commencement of his epistle to the young believers whom he was addressing. He said, "You are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ." And there, as he begins to teach the young believers, the Apostle Peter lays down the doctrine of the Trinity. It is the believer's privilege to know God in the Trinity of his sacred persons. Now, it's sad that I have to say this, but nonetheless, it's true that there's a lamentable ignorance even among God's people today concerning God's revelation of Himself. There are a lot of opinions current among Christians. People think this about God. They imagine that this ought to be true about God. But there is a lamentable ignorance of what God says about God. I think that we would do well to take to heart a jibe which a German agnostic once hurled at the rationalists of his day, when the theological seminaries were being overrun by German rationalism. It took a German agnostic to puncture the balloon. And he pointed out to them that by casting aside the Bible and by worshipping God as they conceived him to be, they were actually no more than idolaters who were worshipping considering themselves and the projection of their own minds. I fear that across America today, there are many who name the name of Jehovah, and yet they are falling before the shrine of the idol of their own imagination, and theirs is the God of their thinking, and not the God of divine revelation. God has revealed himself in Holy Scripture, and the ignorance that there is even among Christians about God's statement of himself is a serious thing. We can say with Hosea in chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." If it is true, and it is, as Daniel says, that the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, then obviously the people who are ignorant of their God, who do not know him as they ought to know him, will be weakened and incapable of doing anything much in the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only so, but in addition to their impotence, there will be their utter fall. God says in Hosea 4 and 14, "The people that doth not understand shall fall or be punished." So that's a serious thing then to talk about ignorance of God among professing Christians. Now the ignorance is concerning all three divine persons. If I were to go around most Christians, even in Greenville this morning, and this I take Greenville because this is, I suppose, the heart of Bible-believing fundamentalism, I think that many, many Christians would be hard put to give any real statement of the doctrine of the Trinity, the three divine persons in the unity of the divine essence. But if there's an ignorance generally about God, I think that that ignorance is particularly seen when you come to the person of the Holy Ghost. Now this is, in many ways, the preacher's fault, because preachers have shown a shameful neglect of this subject, as of many other subjects in their pulpit ministry. And the result is that in the pew there's really little knowledge anymore about the Holy Ghost. I've often said that also in our day the rise of the charismatic movement, with their emphasis on a doctrine of the Spirit that is far from scriptural, has scared off many Christians from a real understanding of what the Bible says. And so, as I have thought of this, I feel that we ought to take some time on Sabbath mornings to have a look at the doctrine of the Word of God concerning the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And over the next while, whether it will be a few weeks or many more weeks, the Lord knows. Some of you may have a suspicion that it will stretch out more than 2 or 3 weeks, but I'll take it week by week as the Lord leads. But I feel that we will take the time to look at this doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And it's a very wide-ranging doctrine in the Bible. Now, we're going to start from rock bottom, and to show that the study's necessary, I'm going to commence with a very simple preliminary kind of message on the importance of a right understanding of the biblical doctrine of the Holy Spirit. How important is it that we understand this doctrine? I have indicated from that quotation in Hosea chapter 4 that there are terrible consequences because of the ignorance of God among his people. Now, if all that I'm going to say this morning about the Holy Ghost is true, and I can assure you, if you take your Bible, you'll find it is, and if all that we will look at in the weeks to come in the will of God is true concerning the Holy Spirit, then it's not much wonder that the Church of Jesus Christ is spiritually in the mess it is if there is ignorance about the Holy Ghost. Now, the importance of this study, I think, can be summed up very simply. I'm going to give you four very basic reasons why we ought to study the doctrine in the Scripture of the Spirit of God. First of all, and here I'm following the lead of possibly the greatest theologian ever to write on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the Prince of Puritan Divines called John Owen. I'll try to make it a lot simpler than John Owen would. And anybody who has ever read John Owen will say amen to that. Somebody once described the great Owen as having all the grace of an elephant. Well, an elephant has grace if you know how to appreciate it. And it's very solid. And I would certainly not want to put you off reading Owen for yourself. But I like the point that he made, that the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God is one of two areas of Bible doctrine on which the entire gospel is built. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is one of two areas of doctrine on which everything else in the gospel is built. Now, the promise of God to His elect centers on these two great truths. Number one, the giving of the Son of God for His people. Number two, the giving of the Spirit of God to His people. In the giving of the Son, you have that broad area of Bible truth known as the accomplishment of redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ, by His coming into the world, by His life and by His death, accomplished a perfect salvation on behalf of all His believing people. That's the first great area of Bible doctrine. Now, apart from the accomplishment of redemption, there is no gospel. Apart from Jesus Christ, the church has no message. Apart from the atonement, there is no good news for the people who are sunk in sin and going down to perdition. But the gospel is that God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us that were under the law, that we should obtain the adoption of sons. But there is a second great gospel doctrine, equally important, and the giving of the Spirit to the people of God is that doctrine, for this is the application of redemption. And I say one is just as important as the other. Only the Son of God could accomplish redemption. Only the Spirit of God can apply redemption. And just as there could be no salvation without Christ's work to accomplish salvation, so there can be no eternal life without the Spirit's work to apply the merits of Christ to our hearts.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.